So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. This is the word of the Lord. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms, and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. The word of God.
Morning, Water Dam. It's good to be with all of you. We're glad you're here, and we look forward to seeing you hopefully over at the picnic as we gather there after the second service. Today, as we come to the Lord, I just ask you to join us in prayer. Thank the Lord for the great weather and the beautiful sunshine that we have compared to yesterday. Melissa and I came back yesterday, and I've talked to some of you. We were caught in the middle of that storm that was coming down, and they had tornado warnings in one area that we were in, and tornado watches as we got closer to Pittsburgh. So it was quite the interesting drive. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We give thanks for all your mercies and your grace, which are new every morning. We come to you now and ask that you would help us to understand what it means to follow Christ, and that children do need a loving family, a faithful church, and an enduring faith, and that they need to know who they are in Christ. And as we come to the Word of God today, as we see Jesus welcoming children, as the people were bringing them to him, so that he might touch them, and Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that picture that Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is such for these. We thank you, Lord, that the kingdom of heaven is for those who are like a child, that we must become like a child, knowing that we cannot earn heaven, but that we receive it as a gift, and that we have nothing to earn. Jesus has done the work for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. So as we teach our children that, we ask, Lord, for your help in understanding all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading a blog, and it was written by a guy named Doug Holliday, and he works for Sun Life. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Sun Life, but Sun Life does a lot of training for children's ministry, and they also do leadership training for people. But he wrote about a pastor friend of his named Richard Dietrich. And Richard Dietrich was leading a student mission to Poland years ago, knowing that his wife was Polish and that she had Polish ancestry. He decided to find the town where his wife was purportedly from and go to the city hall and see if he could get a family tree. They could provide him with something that would be a keepsake for his wife. And so when Richard mentioned his wife's family name, which is Prominence, he was met with a shocking discovery for both himself and the city officials. It turns out that Richard's wife is a direct descendant of the royal von Prominence family, who were thought to have been extinguished centuries before. And the city officials began to apologize profusely to Richard, informing him that they had just recently sold his castle, since they thought that his family had long since disappeared. And now known in Poland as Count Dietrich, Richard has also been knighted Sir Richard. Now imagine, you're a youth pastor, you're taking your wife over there with a bunch of kids, and you go there to bless her with something of a family tree to keep as a keepsake, and you find out all of this information. He and his family can now have an audience with the president of Poland anytime they wish. He is met with Poland's generals and religious leaders. And when Richard walked into Tsary City Hall that day, he had no idea with who he was or what he had owned. Land, castles, treasures. Richard had no idea the opportunities and privilege of his new identity would afford him. And he can walk into any school, a Catholic church in the country, and freely share his faith in Jesus Christ now. Each year, his family hosts the Von Prominence Music Festival that draws hundreds of thousands of people to hear the uncompromising message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His new identity has turned out to be a really big, big deal. Now, the whole point of this is that we are told in the Bible that we are given a new identity in Christ, and that we have the riches of Christ, and that we need to understand that identity in Jesus Christ gives us access to our Heavenly Father. And it says, he ends this blog, he says, is there any doubt that our culture, that this generation is wrestling with issues of identity? We've been created in the image of God. The persistent drive to redefine identity apart from the image of God we've been created in will always lead us to disappointment, disillusionment, and chaos. And we've been created in the image of God. Then we are recreated in the image of Christ. And when it comes to our identity in Christ, it's important to every one of us who are a new believer to come to understand who they are and whose we are. In other words, that we belong to Jesus Christ. And as a church family, when we think about this, just as a review, when we talked about this last week, we were talking about children. It's important for us to understand that as Christian parents, under the influence of the Word of God, we are, and godly living, we're wrapped up in a faithful church, is God's design for raising the next generation to love the Lord. In Jesus Christ, it can be done. In a world that is shifting and changing, and the culture, that it can be overpowered by the living God of the universe. There is a Chinese proverb that says, one generation plants the trees, the next generation gets the shade. And every generation should understand the responsibility that they have to plant the trees for the next generation's shade. Now, at Water Jam, we want to be about that. And as we think about children, last week we talked about every child needs a loving family. And we said these three things, that children are to obey the Lord and honor your parents, right? Obey and honor your parents. Which means that the parents are to instruct your children to love and obey God. And so it goes hand in hand, of course, if children are told to obey and honor their parents, that their parents are going to have to be faithful and instruct your children in the Lord, the Bible says. So there's a pointing of a direction for the children, and that we are to love, listen, and limit them. And I shared with you a few of the things that we do as far as our children. Our kids grew up, when Melissa and I would go up and we'd tell stories, you know, read stories to them. We read Pilgrim's Progress to them when they got older. But one of the things that's important for us to understand is that time spent with them gets them to open up and talk to us. And they learn that they can talk to us about anything. And it led to later on in their years as they were growing up to being able to talk to us about the bigger things, the more difficult times when you come become a teenager. And then you go to college, and then you get out of college, and then you get married, and you have kids. We got everybody going in every direction. We got another daughter that's going to college, and then she's going to fit getting married in between that. And we don't know how that's going to work, but we're going to go for it. And then we have the next one that's coming along that's already teaching. Well, she's teaching and working in the school system is going to move out someday. She's already told us she's moving out. We told her we'd move in with her. But it's just interesting that we are to love, listen, and limit. And as they grow up, as we teach and we train them up in the Lord, we have to remember to take that time to honor God and to listen to them. That word there, that Proverbs 20, talks about the power of listening to your child and drawing out from them out of their heart. And that's an important thing as we think about it. And so we're teaching them to be, to understand what God's authority looks like by treating them with a loving way in the Lord. And it says you are to be the Lord, or the look of God's face, the touch of God's hand, and the tone of His voice. That's just review for what we talked about last week. In other words, we're supposed to be loving parents, teaching them about the Lord, and that's how they learn authority from us. They learn what it's like that God is like. So we listen to them the way the Lord listens to us. God listens to us all the time when we pray to Him. But it says in Proverbs 20, verse 5, the Lord, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And so it's those important times of listening to your children. Every child needs a loving family, but every child also needs a faithful church. As we look at this passage today, we see Jesus, something going on with Jesus as he is dealing with families coming to him and bringing kids to him. And I want you to hear what Dave Stone wrote about growing faithful families. He says, a Christian family doesn't magically and instantly appear because we wish it into existence. Parents have to be serious about the task of passing on their faith, about living the way God calls them to live, not just when others are looking, but all day, every day. Now, isn't that what we learned back in Deuteronomy, that God said to teach your children to love the Lord God with all their soul, with all their heart, with all their might? And then he says something about it. He says, impress upon your children the ways of the Lord, basically, the law of God. And he said when they're walking along the pathway, when they're going to bed at night. So it's an all-day, everyday job, and it's not just in the church. It's outside the church, a lot of it. We see, as great as a youth pastor is, as Scott is, as great as he is, the children are with their parents more than they are with us. We see them about 1% of the time. So when the children get up and you're a parent and they say, what are we doing today? And it's Sunday. We always used to say, we get to go to church. We get to go to church. You hear how that's said? It's not like, well, what do you want to do? We were thinking about going to church. What do you feel like? That was never the question to us. We always talked to them about saying, we get to go to church. We get to go to learn about God. And so it's important for us to understand that it takes effort and time here. And Jesus said, let the little children come unto me in this passage. And the people were bringing the children to Jesus that he might touch them, and his disciples rebuked them. So as we look at this passage, and it says they were bringing the children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them, we got this picture of the guys, Jesus' closest entourage, were telling the children they're not important enough to bother Jesus. And he gets indignant about it. And he tells them, and he rebukes them, and he says, let them come to me. A faithful church teaches that the foundation of our church life begins with the context and a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. Think about your relationship with this church here. Your church family, and you become part of the church through a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where you're placed into the church. You're called out of the world. You're brought into the church. The church body, the church is Jesus' body. And that happens within a context of a loving relationship with the Lord Jesus. And notice that the parents came with the expectation that Jesus would receive their children and that he would bless them. So Jesus took the children in his arms, in some cases, to love them in Luke 18, 15. In Mark chapter 10, verse 16, it says to bless them. And then in Matthew chapter 19, verse 13, it says to pray over them. So as parents are coming to church or bringing their church, as a church family, we want to bring kids to basically learn to love Jesus, to be loved by Jesus. And so in that atmosphere of love, there should be an atmosphere of love and acceptance and the priority of children in the church, that we should want to bless those children and to pray over those children. And the second thing is that the church is to be an outpost of heaven, a place of refuge, a place of restoration, a place of redemption. And notice that the disciples' rejection of the children was unacceptable to Jesus. When we think about Jesus and him bringing the children being brought to him and the disciples being indignant and rebuking the kids, Jesus becomes indignant. And he says, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. So as a church family, we have a priority to bring the kids in, to make them a priority, to raise them up to know Jesus Christ. And then Mark chapter 10, verse 14, look what it says. It says, but when Jesus saw it, he was indignant, and he said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. Now, most pastors, or a lot of pastors, just say, you know, like, well, this is a nice little story about Jesus and the fact that, you know, the big bad disciples being mean to these little children who are all nice and cute and everything, and that we should be friendly to the children, right? That's the way it kind of gets preached. But then Jesus says something very interesting. He says, do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Now, John MacArthur talks about this, and he talks about this that shows that when children pass away as infants, that this statement is powerful. That he indicates or he implies that the children go to God. And he uses David, when David lost the baby between him and Bathsheba, that he said, I would go to God. I will go to the child. He will not come to me, but I will go to that child. Now, that's a powerful statement about children. Such is the kingdom of God, that it belongs to them. And he makes no other statement about it after that. And then he says, you and I must become like those little children. We must become like children, like a child, or you won't enter into heaven. That has a little more bite to it, doesn't it? It has a little bit more a sense of call to our ears as adults, that we need to hear this. That the Greek word translated a child refers to the youngest and most helpless of children. That Christ is calling us to utter dependence on him. As the way into his kingdom, we take great joy in our young children. The arrival of a baby is one of the happiest times in our lives. But the youngest children cannot do anything for themselves. They cannot make any tangible contribution to the functioning of the household. In fact, they are desperately needy. That is how we are in relationship to the Father in heaven. We rely completely on his mercy for our salvation. And indeed, for our every need. Only by admitting this can we be part of the kingdom of God. Only in admitting that this is the way that we can become part of the kingdom of God. Like a little child, I am helpless. In other words, I can do nothing to earn my salvation and enter into heaven. The church is an outpost of heaven. A faithful church needs to begin and teach people, families need to begin with a loving relationship with Jesus. The second thing is that the church needs to be an outpost of heaven. Do not hinder them, Jesus says. The third thing is that life is to be lived out in community with accountability. These are the parents, John MacArthur writes, who want their children to know God. That's who's bringing these children to him. They want their children to be a part of the kingdom of God. They want their children to have eternal life, like any sensible parent would. I remember when we had children, that was the most important thing in our life, that we wanted to raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. So we needed to take on this. MacArthur says two things in this passage. One, the Lord reminds us of a principle that's repeated several times in the New Testament. The way you enter the kingdom of heaven is like with childlike faith. But beyond that, not only do believers come as children, but children themselves have a special place in the kingdom. Babies, in fact, serve as an apt illustration of those who enter the kingdom and receive its blessing because they can do nothing to earn it. And again, I say, this is shocking. It's a shocking moment in the ministry of Jesus for the Jews and the disciples who had brought it into it. The greatest blessing you can confer on your children is to lovingly evangelize them. That's your life's priority, because when they get past this point, you become stewards of their lives. Their salvation is still the work of God, but you are to be the agent in which that work is done. You are the primary missionary in the life of the children. So it begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ, a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. The church then is to be an outpost of heaven where they can take refuge, that they can find redemption, and restoration, and that life is to be lived out in a community of being around other people, and that it has accountability to it. And it's important for us to see that as we think about this, children cannot bring themselves to church. And that's important for us to understand that one of the things that they have found, George Barna reports that 58% of highly engaged Christian parents choose a church with their kids in mind. So when they pick out a church, they pick it out based on the idea that that church is feeding and teaching their children about Jesus. And consistent church attendance and engagement is important to engage Christian parents. As any parent can confirm, regular church attendance with a kid can be a challenge. So how often families making it to church? In general, more than one might think. Regardless of what region you're in, about 3 in 5 engaged parents attend church with their children every week. Now, and as we think about it, in our own walk, see, it has to be a faithful church is brought, you know, about teaching that begins with a loving relationship, that the church is an outpost of heaven, that we are a place where children can find refuge and learn about redemption and restoration, and that their life is to be lived out in a community with accountability. But the children can't bring themselves to church. It takes people who are engaged in a relationship with Jesus Christ already. That's the assumption, that the parents are already engaged in a relationship with Jesus Christ. They need a faithful church. As any parent can confirm, it's basically it has to come from them. It has to be fed to the children. A loving family, a faithful church, and an enduring faith. As we think about an enduring faith, we are to give our children a model to follow. And that's what we're talking about. As we think about parents, the first thing that they see is whether or not their parents go to church and what their parents' attitude is like going to church. And here we have a youth group here that went over to the nursing facility up here at North Shebane at the nursing home and helped serve a generation of people that is up just our neighbors right up here above us. And there was about 18 kids, I think, or 17 kids, and several adults went along. And they did a great job. Melissa said they were great with the older people. The first thing that we need to give our kids is a model to follow. And I want you to hear this. Proverbs 1, verse 7 is important when we think about transferring faith. The fear of the Lord, it says, is the beginning of wisdom. That we have to have respect for God, or the children are not going to have any kind of knowledge of God. And they need to then to have a respect for God's authority in their life. Listen to what Proverbs 1:8 says. Well, I'm sorry, 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. You ever have anybody tell you that? You better listen to your mom and dad, right? Your mom and dad ever tell you, mind your P's and Q's? I never knew what P's and Q's were, but you're supposed to mind them. And so you're to listen to your mom and dad. And it says the things that they give you, the instruction, in verse 9 there, in chapter 1 of Proverbs 1, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. In other words, they're valuable. Live out your faith. You are to live it out. You're to give them God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that God's word is useful. All scripture is breathed out by God, is profitable for teaching, reproof, and for correction, for training in righteousness. And so we want to give them God's word. Proverbs 1:20, wisdom cries out in the street, in the market. She raises her voice at the head of the noisy street. She cries out at the entrance of the city gates. She speaks, how long, O simple ones? Simple ones not meaning stupid or anything like that. It means malleable. It means naive. It means young. Will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in the scoffing of and fools hate knowledge? This is an open call in the streets where people can see and hear. God's call to hearts is not secret. It's not a secret matter. His Spirit invites people to come and come to Christ. And that wisdom invites three classes of people: simple people, scorners, and fools. And as we think about your kids, eventually they will need to come out of your eyesight. Wisdom calls to them to follow God's wisdom, to obey. Wisdom can see judgment coming. She wants sinners to escape it. What a wonderful offer she makes to those who will hear the gift of the Spirit and by the word of God. If you turn at my reproof, he says, behold, I will pour out my Spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. That's Proverbs 1, verse 23. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my Spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Now, actions speak louder than words. Now, we all know that. We've all heard people say that. Live out your faith. You have to walk it like you talk it. And you have to be, you cannot be one way on Sunday and another way on Monday. And a lot of people try to do it that way. They try to bring their kids to church and they act one way on Sunday morning and then a different way on Monday. And it doesn't work that way. Faith is more caught than taught. It's from your lifestyle is what they're going to learn from, not your words. And you do not need to be perfect. No one's perfect. I told you how imperfect I am. As imperfect as I am, my kids, they know when I mess up. They know I'm not perfect. I can have to confess when I mess up. Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I forgot my kids one time when they were little at the pool. You think, well, you'll never do that. Well, you just wait. You might do that. And I invited this young couple in that lived beside us, and they had wedding pictures that they were waiting for. And they said, did you happen to see them? And they were thinking that maybe they got dropped off at our house. I said, no, I haven't seen your pictures. And then I was sitting there thinking, oh, my kids, they're at the pool. And I looked at this couple. They just came in my house. I said, I got to go. And they looked at me like I was nuts. I wondered if they still thought I had their pictures because I ran out so fast. I said, I got to go. You got to leave? I got to go. I got to go pick up my kids. And ever since then, my kids never forgot that. And they always wondered, now, Dad, I always got this. Now, Dad, don't forget us. So I went and I pick them up, you know, like from different places. And then Hannah got in the habit and Kate got in the habit. Kate would tell me to pick her up 15 minutes early just so I would be there when she got done at 4 o'clock. And then Hannah, when I would go out to pick her up at the school, I'd get a call 5 minutes before I was even supposed to be there. Hey, Dad. What, Hannah? Where you at? I'm on my way, Hannah. And then I had to go, you know, tell her, you know. And then every time I would go, she would call me. And why did that happen? Because of what I had done in the past. They saw from my actions what I was like. And they kind of picked up on that. So we have to live out our faith. It can't be that way with your faith. You must be walking it like you talk it. And you must be born again. You must teach them they must be born again. And when you say it, be tender and true. That's from Spurgeon. They need to know that they need to be born again. They also need to learn to serve. They need to learn to serve. George Barna again. For example, children who are most active in church tend to engage with the Bible outside of the church. To attend church activities other than Sunday worship, such as Bible studies, camps, and children's events, to pray together with their family as well, they are twice as likely to engage in outreach events and volunteerism, demonstrating that the level of dedication in this group to the overall mission of the church is not internally focused, but expresses itself in outward action. Now, when does that come out of you? It has to be in you. If it's not in you, it's not going to come out of you. You've heard me say that. And so they need to learn to serve. And lastly, they need to learn to endure. Because faith you have to go through some rough times. You know, I've lost both of my parents now. My kids are watching how I handle this. They've seen me have great, I'm okay, and other times they've seen me crying. They need to learn to endure. They've prayed for me. I was helped by them when they prayed for my mother and when they were in the room with my mother. I've been helped by them at having conversations with them about faith through these times. We talk about it. I don't hide the fact that I'm weak. I tell them I'm not feeling very strong. I want them to have this, as to see this. This is what faith looks like. It's not always about, you know, slapping high fives and happy times. That's part of it, yeah. But there's some rough times, too, that our faith has to be, that's where the rubber hits the road. So we have to live it out. We have to have a model to follow. We need an enduring faith. We need an enduring faith. Listen to what Spurgeon says. We need to teach our children to set before your child life and death. They need to learn about life and death, hell and heaven, judgment and mercy, their own sin, and Christ's most precious blood. In other words, you know, when we think about what they need to learn, it's not easy when we're talking about this stuff that we think maybe we take the kids to Sunday school. But Spurgeon warns, don't let the delusion that Sunday school is intended to ease them from your personal duties. You can't just drop them off at church and hope they get it through osmosis. We're only with these kids about 1% of their life. You're with them all the time. And so we need to trust that this is part of what we're supposed to teach kids about life and death, about hell and heaven, about judgment and mercy, about their sin, and about redemption and why it's so important to know Christ, that he would be forgiving of their sins, that his blood will cover their sins. We need to make sure that we teach them that they must be born again. An enduring faith. Sun Life talks about several of these things. Number one is their spiritual identity, that their kid needs to know who they are and whose they are. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if there is anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. In the infancy stage, the new believer needs to grasp the basic concepts. They need to learn to walk with God. They need to learn to talk with God. They need to learn how to feed themselves. Do you know what that means when we think about that? It basically, they have to be able to feed themselves the Bible. That when life is going on at the speed of life, they need to learn to seek out the Lord in all circumstances. And they need to clean up their messes in their spiritual life. But the very foundation of a new believer's life is found in their identity in Jesus Christ. Like the alignment in a vehicle, if a new believer is misaligned on their spiritual identity, it will create all kinds of problems on their spiritual journey. That our understanding of the spiritual identity impacts the way we think, feel, and act. That anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person in Christ. In Christ, we are loved. In Christ, we are accepted. 1 John 3:1. In Christ, we are included. In Christ, we are forgiven. In Christ, we are free from accusation. In Christ, we are holy and blameless. In Christ, we are made spiritually alive. In Christ, we are brought into fullness. In Christ, we are free. In Christ, we become children of God. We need to know our spiritual identity. An enduring faith will teach these things. Every child needs a loving family, a family home, a a church home, and a heavenly home. As we think about our children, let us be faithful and think about how we are raising them up in the Lord so that they know whose they are and who they belong to. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to you now, we ask for your blessing on this time. We pray for your help and understanding as we think about our church family and our children. Help us to be faithful of knowing and giving them their identity in Jesus. Help us to defend them and to watch over them and to care for them enough to feed them the word that you've given us to feed them. Thank you, Lord, for the programming that we have with Awana, with our children's ministry, with Sunday school. As we think about the opportunities to serve you and to feed our children, we think about Answers in Genesis being part of our curriculum. That it begins with a foundation, knowing that you are the creator of the heavens and the earth, that you created this world, that you created them in the image of God, that they are created in your image, that they belong to you, that they're a gift from you. I pray, God, that we'd be faithful over these things, and we ask for your help in doing so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hear the words of the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.